Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
When we started with the chapter, I believe we spent a lot of time going over the word seek. Seek those things that are above, and rightly so. And afterwards, I thought of perhaps a different way of looking at it, because the chapter begin with the word if. And often we think of the word if as if there are conditions or options or choices. But I like to think of the word if as something of a certainty. And for young people here, I think it's good if you're like me. Often we hear the first few seconds of the meeting and then we drift it off. So it's good to think that this is something of a certainty. Let me give you an example. And the reason I thought of that was there were many of us holding a coffee cup in between the meetings, myself included. And I thought of this. If someone were to walk up and say, if you drop this cup, you're going to make a mess on the floor. Well, is that a condition that only if I drop the cup? I don't think that's the thought. The thought really is, when the cup get dropped, it's a certainty that you will make a mess on the floor. So let's apply this. If ye be risen with Christ, as if the example we use, you have a coffee cup in your hand, I should actually say full of coffee. Well, this is a certain thing. Are you? Is this a certainty for you? Be risen with Christ. It is. And it should be certain. And your desire should be, seek those things which are above where Christ is.
Good word to replace that word if is since, because it takes the position we occupy, and there in this chapter gives us a lot of exhortation in connection with it. And I wanted to comment a little bit more too on verse 3. It says, for ye are dead. What does that mean? It's talking about our position in Christ. You might say, well, I don't feel that dead. It's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of faith. And faith takes God's word and counts it as true. And it's amazing. Abraham was told that he was going to have a son through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed. And he keeps getting older and older, and right up to 99, here he is, and his wife 10 years younger. It didn't look like much possibility. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So it's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of faith. And God says, you're dead. That seems strange. Brethren, the reason why it's important to see it is because the life that we have in Christ is beyond death. It's in resurrection. That's the life that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus now. It's ours right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy it. But it's ours right now. And so it says, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. But then it goes on in the next verse to say, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It talks about his appearing. It's not his coming in the rapture. It's his appearing. And I think that's so wonderfully blessed. Our life is hid now. The world looks at us and says, what do those Christians think they're doing? They get together and they read the Bible like they do. I don't understand what that's all about. Yeah, that's true, brethren. Our life is hid. It's not open to people to understand. But the day is coming when our life will be manifested in all its fullness. And brethren, it's going to be one of the most glorious events. I think probably we could easily say the most glorious event ever in human history. No time like it, before or after, when the heavens open and Jesus comes riding on a white horse and the hosts of heaven. Imagine how many of the redeemed will be accompanying him in that day. I think we can easily talk about billions of the redeemed.
And not only the redeemed, but the hosts of angels as well. How many angels are there? We don't have a clue. Millions of angels are going to accompany him as he comes back to establish his kingdom. This world that last saw Jesus hanging dead in that mangled body on the cross, they're going to see come in power and glory. This is his appearing, his manifestation, his revelation. And oh, brethren, it's going to be incredibly glorious. And so in that day, maybe your neighbor that don't understand why you live like you do is going to be there and they're going to see you coming back with him. And then they will say, okay, now I understand why he lived like he did. Now I see it. Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. We're going to be accompanying him. We're going to be eyewitnesses of that glorious event when the Lord Jesus takes his kingdom and reigns supreme in this world. What a glorious event it will be. He is our light. Our life is hid right now, but our light will be manifested at his appearing.
I think it's helpful to understand these verses at the beginning of this chapter 3. If we look back at a verse that Paul wrote by the Spirit of God to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, a verse that we often read the second part of it, but we want to read the whole thing. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Thinking, brethren, that we are dead with Christ as to our position, but we are also raised with him. And that is the meaning of the passage here. We are in the same place as Christ is. He is our life. And our interests down here in this world are for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're dead to the world, and we're dead to sin, but we are not dead to nature. God has given us the privilege of enjoying the natural things of this world. I'm thinking of the young people might think, you're speaking of being deprived of everything. That's not the case. Nature is not evil, but we have the privilege of God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Down here, we need to set priorities. We shouldn't allow our business responsibilities to entangle us to such an extent that we have no time for eternal things. And when we come to verse 4, as Bob has explained, it is the appearing. That's always connected with responsibility. Not the rapture, the appearing. That's when our lives will be manifest. How I have lived down here. Have I lived for myself? It will be manifest. If we look at the timeline, the rapture takes place today. I hope it does. Right after that, short time after that transportation, will be the judgment seat of Christ. All our lives will be manifest, not for condemnation, but for reward or for loss. That will be manifest at the appearing when we come with Christ. Then the way in which we have lived our lives down here will be manifest to the world. Yes, they will look on and see. Maybe we could turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 there. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Read verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. What a privilege this is. Every one of us are called to this privilege to serve and to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So, the world knows nothing about our life. It's hid with God. Who is it hid from? It's hid from the world. They can't understand the motives which govern a Christian, if he is walking in obedience to the Word of God and according to the position that we are now in. The world cannot understand those motives or the inner springs of the believer. They're ignorant of it. But we are to be a testimony here in this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be concealed. We're not to seclude ourselves from the world like the monks used to do.